Now, 7 out of 10 of those of us over 25 carry the herpes virus. Now, it can cause cold sores. It can also cause genital sores, blisters and itching. And there are still quite a lot of myths and taboos around the subject of herpes, in spite of the fact that it is so common. I've been talking to three women with genital herpes. Jess is in her 20s and she was diagnosed last year. A woman we're calling Sylvia is in her 60s and was diagnosed when she was in her 50s. And you'll also hear from Marion, who's the director of the Herpes Virus Association. Marion's in her 60s. She got the diagnosis when she was in her 30s. So here's Marion on how she found out she had the virus.
I was a classic case. So I had flu-like symptoms that lasted a couple of days, and then in the genital region up came these exceedingly painful spots.
But can you describe the pain?
Just much sorer than a spot in that region should be. So really sharp, peeing hurt like the blazes because of the open wound with a pee going over it. Mm. But the first outbreak is always much the worst. So any repeat outbreaks are rarely going to have flu-like symptoms and won't necessarily hurt at all, because they're often, particularly for ladies, so far away from the urethra that the pee doesn't actually get involved.
Where had you got it from, do you know?
Oh, from the partner. I'd been with him quite a while. After I'd been diagnosed, we were able to retro-diagnose the fact that he used to get a little cut on the side of his penis from time to time, which he just thought was something to do with either friction or maybe it was that soap. But it was so slight that we hadn't stopped to actually think about it.
I wouldn't have known that that was a symptom of herpes.
Exactly.
And he didn't know either.
Exactly, he did not know. Only one in three gets clear symptoms. Two out of three have either no symptoms at all or these little symptoms which they totally allocate to a different cause. So they think it's an infected hair follicle, that's quite common, an itchy patch, sore patch, pimple that vanished when I squeezed it, you know, just minor symptoms.
But we should be clear about this. If you get a cold sore, you have the same thing. You have herpes.
That's quite right.
And cold sores are something that once you've got, you keep on having every year, every winter. What is it?
The whole range of herpes viruses are things that you can keep getting back. The frequency is totally up to you. There's a genetic component, so if your parents got a lot of cold sores, you are more likely to get repeat outbreaks. But remember, only 2 out of 3 people just don't recognise that they've ever caught it. Theirs are so mild.
Sylvia, just tell us when you were diagnosed with herpes.
About 5-6 years ago, and very, very similar to Marion. I had a partner that most probably was infected some years back, but because it can remain dormant for such a long time, then I have no way of knowing if that was the source of my original infection, but it seems likely. And I went to local sexual health clinic.
You didn't go to your GP?
No, I didn't go to my GP.
Why
I was
not?
Extremely embarrassed.
I see, OK.
And I went to the sexual health clinic and they took blood tests and they confirmed that I had herpes type 1 and type 2. So type 1 is obviously the facial cold sores, which I've never had. I've never had an outbreak of cold sores on my face, ever. Then after they told me to expect a major outbreak, which would be flu-like symptoms, and a larger number of lesions, which did happen a few weeks later. And I went back to them and was given acyclovir as a prophylactic dose, which I still take.
Now, the flu-like symptoms you described, was it so bad that you had to take to your bed?
Not that bad.
But it was debilitating.
It was debilitating, yeah. Yes, it was. It's like a very heavy cold and you feel pretty miserable and really don't want to go out of the house.
And Marion, Sylvia mentioned the two types. You better just define the two types of herpes.
There are two types of herpes simplex, and traditionally they do say that type 1 is the cause of cold sores and type 2 is the cause of genital herpes. But nowadays they find that over half of new cases of genital herpes are caused by type 1 because of oral sex. So people with facial cold sores are putting them on their partner's genitals.
Jess, can you tell us, you're our, I don't think it's unfair to describe you as our youngest contributor. So can you tell us when you first realised that you had herpes?
It was back in September last year, following a known exposure to a partner, which was probably about 10 weeks prior to that. So that's quite a long incubation time, typically. until the first outbreak. It was very much the same as Marion and Sylvia's. So there were obvious lesions, swollen lymph nodes was the most obvious for me. Flu-like symptoms. And yeah, it took a good 2 weeks for my sores to disappear, which, you know, were in the whole vulva area.
Sylvia said she couldn't visit the GP about her symptoms. What did you do?
As the outbreak was happening, I knew straight away what it was because I'd been Googling it a lot since I'd been exposed. So the symptoms I got, I knew what it was instantly. So it was a case of I need to go to the sexual health clinic and get that diagnosis and see what help I can get from there.
Some people listening might be a bit wary about doing exactly that.
Yeah.
Just tell us about what it's like to visit a sexual health clinic.
Well, in my particular area, the sexual health services are really good. I got an appointment the same day. I knew I had to get a swab because I wanted to find out what strain I had. And
it was all matter of fact. These people do this every day, don't they?
Very. And the nurse actually said to me, she said, you know, I'm pretty positive this is going to come back as a positive result. But, you know, you feel like the only person right now that has it. And believe me, you won't believe how common this is.
Did you think for yourself there was any kind of stigma about this?
Oh, absolutely.
And you did?
Yeah. And the person I contracted it off of was very affected by the stigma, I'd say. I think they were very much afraid of just being vulnerable or being judged. But I knew about herpes beforehand. I'm quite well educated on the subject anyway. So I think it's what you make of it, really. It's your personal perspective.
What do you think about that, Marion? Why is there still... people do sort of lob it into conversation in a mildly kind of accusatory way, don't they?
Yeah, so they make jokes about it. I think one of the problems is the stigma means that when someone makes a joke about it, no one with genital herpes is brave enough to say, let's not make jokes about catching an STI. Anyone could catch an STI. In this room, if people are over 25, 7 out of 10 of them are carrying the virus. Most don't know. So people making the joke could well have it themselves, but they just don't know they have it.
By pure fluke, they aren't manifesting any symptoms. And it is fluke, isn't it? There's no other explanation.
Genetic.
Yeah.
Really, they've done the research. It is a genetic tendency to have symptoms or a genetic tendency not to have symptoms.
Sylvia, when you got your diagnosis, did you feel any stigma?
Yes, I did at the time. I didn't really know very much about it and I was horrified. And I did some research and I contacted the Herpes Virus Association when Marion very kindly sent me lots of literature about it. And I read a lot around the subject and realised that this is a skin complaint and it's no more than a skin complaint. And yes, like Marion, I do get extremely upset about people making jokes because it's not a joking matter. But it's neither is it, for the vast majority of us, very serious.
And I'm glad you said that, Sylvia, because I know you are a carer now for a partner with a neurological condition. And what has he said to you about your herpes diagnosis?
When we met up, I was very upfront and told him straight away that I had this problem. And he said, if we can cope with my very major problem, then yours is a tiny problem in comparison, and I'm sure we can cope with that.
Do you think you'd have got that reaction from everybody? Did you get other reactions?
I had dated one or two people before that who ran a mile, to be honest, even though I explained at some length that I was highly unlikely to be able to pass this on when I had no external symptoms. Mm. Unfortunately... there is a great deal of ignorance about the disorder, and I found it very hard to convince people that that was actually the case.
Well, Jess, your generation, is it your experience that they are better informed?
I would say so, yeah. I don't know if that's got something to do with the age of the internet. Things are a lot more accessible, especially if we want to educate ourselves. You know, type in the symptoms, things come up. I always knew about herpes. I didn't realise there were two different strains and until really that when I got it. But yeah, I've told quite a lot of people about this, close family, close friends, and the majority of them have all said, yeah, I get cold sores, so what? As for genital herpes, I think it's becoming, more known. No one talks about it, but I think people are starting to, you know, understand better about how it is contracted, what it is, what does this mean for themselves and their sexual partners.
Do you think people are more open, more informed and less judgmental than they used to be, Marianne?
Oh, definitely, yes. We're beginning to see that happen. There are many more articles on the internet talking about how ridiculous the stigma is. Why have a stigma about a cold sore when it's on the genitals and not have a stigma when it's a cold sore on the face? Mm. It's daft.
I mean, are there any potential implications? I'm thinking of women of Jess's age. There's no impact on fertility, is there?
Correct.
Right, so we don't need to worry about that. Well, what are the other myths associated with it?
People do worry about giving birth, but as long as you caught it before you became pregnant, there's no issue whatsoever. The new guidelines from the Royal College of Obstetrics and Gynaecology say even if you have an outbreak at term, you can have a natural childbirth. People worry about passing it around their body. This, again, is something that might happen during a first outbreak. It doesn't happen once the first outbreak is over. Think about it. If it could happen, every kiddie with a cold sore would self-infect their fingers, their feet, their knees and anywhere they can reach.
And it doesn't happen.
We don't see that happening, no.
But if you do contract it in your third trimester, then there is a chance that you would have to have a cesarean.
Definitely. If you've caught it just before giving birth, then there's no time for the baby to develop all the antibodies that would protect a normal baby, and therefore definitely women who catch it just before giving birth will need to have a cesarean section. And when babies do catch it, they give babies a cyclovir drip and the baby recovers well.
And Sylvia, you had that one unpleasant outbreak. Anything else since?
Since taking the prophylactic dose, I have no further outbreaks. My GP suggested that I'd been taking it for a couple of years and I could probably stop. And I stopped and I had a couple of minor lesions, so I went back onto it again. And I don't intend to stop taking it. But it's only a minor inconvenience, an extra pill to take in the morning. And it keeps it at bay completely.
And it's entirely safe for you to carry on taking that for the rest of your life?
As far as I'm aware, yes.
Marion's nodding, so, yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, people take it for the rest of their lives.
And I think just
you don't need to, though, of course.
No, it's just an option, and that's the one that Sylvia's gone for.
Yeah.
And we should say that all three of you are carrying on your lives completely. I mean, life just goes on, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
It is, after all, only a cold sore in a different place.
Interesting stuff from Marion, and you also heard from a woman we called Sylvia, and from Jess as well. Now, if you're worried about herpes or you'd like a bit more information, there are links now on the Woman's Hour website, bbc.co.uk/womanshour.